have a different one of those for each one of the sessions that we've got. And this is the title is a five-stop bus tour of reality. We're going to survey all of everything that is real in now 4 hours. Obviously, we're going to do this at a rather high level. We're not going to do a lot of drill down. And I can do the introduction. The five stops we're going to take are, of course, God. We actually don't have to leave the bus terminal. All we have to do is look out the window to see God, except he's invisible for a while, so that makes it a little bit more complicated. You just have to look a little harder. We're going to talk a little bit about God. Our second stop is actually the universe, so the whole universe that was spoken into existence. We're going to look at it and look at what it's like, what it's made of, what kinds of things are in this universe, what does the universe tell us about God, looking at it, by the diversity in it and things of this type, what kind of problems are in the universe that would suggest perhaps a solution. Our third stop will be people, humanity. We will look at us. We will look at what we're made like, what we become, how we change, and how we resist that change. We'll look at community. We'll look at the fact that we're little models of the Trinity. We become like those we hang around with. We will go through that in some detail at the interactions of what makes us human. We'll also talk about why we're different from Paramecia and Simeon characteristics, and we'll look at how we're different from angels. We'll look at literally that which defines us, and we'll also delve a little bit on why the angels are so curious at watching us. I mean, granted, we are an amusing lot. We are no doubt the cause of a number of chuckles, but there's also rejoicing in heaven, it says, when we're one single one of us that changes our mind about this, and there's something subtle about that we'll want to look at. And then our last two stops, one is called our history and one is called our future. And both of those are pretty heavily concentrated upon the intersection of all five of these stops. So if you take God, the universe, humanity, our history, and our future, the only thing that's completely common to all five of those is Jesus Christ. Okay? And so he will dominate the discussion, shall we say, in our history, which goes up to the cross, and our future, which starts with the tomb, the empty tomb. And so we will look at what the changes that we have done at some level for the universe and some of the conflict that's gone through that. It's gone through the frustration that's associated with some aberrations of the second law of thermodynamics, and we'll talk about some of that stuff. And then we'll talk about the future, the fact that there's a new creation and the process is being made. And we are all new creatures in Christ for those of us that have been honest with God about his Son, who he was and what he did. That unleashes another set of forces in the universe, in our hearts, initially in our relationships over time, sometimes in our social institutions, but eventually in the total character of the universe. So we'll talk about our history and our future. And point B is, obviously, I made the point, this is just a high point. We will get a long, long time to discuss this sometime in the future. And we will marvel about this for a long, long time, but we're just going to breeze through it right now. And the point of this is point C, is that when God is seen clearly, theology goes dancing. Okay? Sometimes we have some of the most obscure models of God. If you read some of the medieval theologians, delightfully arcane and bland in their description of in their textbooks on what the Trinity is like, three hypostases and one essence. Substantia and inessentia. And they use all these terms that are just so flat, all the bubble. It's like a Coke left out overnight. It is so flat and insipid. But then they will go and worship on Sunday, and they will use a different set of terminology about the Lord. They will talk in terms of the Trinity as being a dance, a three persons. They will talk about the symphony of creation. Remember C.S. Lewis, when he talked about Aslan, Aslan sang Narnia into existence. And J.R.R. Tolkien, in the Silmarillion, remember, it's music that starts it all off. So theology that we want to look at is the dancing stuff. I mean, we'll talk about the only omni word we'll use instead of omnipotence. We'll just talk about omnicompetence. We'll just settle it at that when describing God. We won't go through all the others. And finally, point D is titled Grandeur of Warmth and Delight, because that's what we're trying to see, versus enduring sound doctrine. There's that passage in the King James where it says, the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. And I have always had a chuckle over enduring sound doctrine. because this is sometimes what we do experience, is it's something to be endured. And so the story is often told about the memorial plaque in the back of a church, about those that died in service, a memorial plaque for the veteran, those that died in service, and some little kid says, asks the mom, are these people who died in the first service or the second service? Right, and this is what we're not trying to do here. We really want to get into the light of this because it is incredibly beautiful. And I've got time to just take you through the outline of what we're going to talk about on God. And if I'd rather you start at the very back. If you look back at the last page, page 10, assuming your page number matches 9, fascinating. Okay, I'll give you hard copy instead of the file. Okay, the last point is point 4, and then back up to point 3, whichever page number that's on. And it's what God delights in, seeks after, and enjoys. This is what the kinds of stuff we're going to try to look at here, is to see specifically the kinds of things that God delights in. We want to do a portrait of God, not just a description of his attributes. Not he's 5'2", 140, what does he like? Back 20 years ago, there was a controversy in philosophy on how you use language to describe God. What kind of language do you describe? If you say God is good, you have described a lot of folks. You haven't narrowed it down. If you really want to know God's heart, or personal language, you have to tell a story about them. You have to describe what they did on their vacation and how they responded when they stepped on the armadillo. See, it's only those kind of things where you get a picture of somebody and you say, gosh, I got it, click. I know who that is. And so, what we're going to go through, like I say, are some portrait of God. We're going to talk about his attributes, his omnicompetence. We're going to talk about his mixture of mercy and grace. We're going to talk about judgment, his strange work, things of this type. But we are going to also look specifically at a portrait. What does God feel, for example? He emotes, as we say in the old language. He emotes. It means he has emotions. He grieves. We'll talk about the difference in the life of a Christian. When a Christian sins, God, generally speaking, does not get angry. He gets sad. He grieves. Many of you that would be parents know exactly what you're talking about here. When a poor choice has been made, a lot of times it's not an anger. It's just a deep grief over this. And part of catching up with the Spirit, Galatians 5 talks about if we live in the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so the Spirit in our daily lives is trying to go somewhere, and we're trying to keep up. There are a couple of models of this. There's a lamb following the shepherd. Remember, the lamb has an eyesight of about 14 feet. It can only see 14 feet. If it gets too far from the shepherd, it's over. If the shepherd doesn't come back and get the sheep. So you got to stay close if you want to not interrupt the process, because the flock's trying to go somewhere. We're trying to go somewhere to some particularly nice pastures, and we're going to hold the whole thing up if the shepherd has to stop, leave the 99, go back and get the one. Okay? And so for those times that we're wasting the program because we're sitting in the parking lot for 30 minutes, okay, the whole thing slows down, right, and, Steve just learns whatever lesson he'll realize a little later he was supposed to learn in the process, right? So that's logically where we're going to go with our program. And let me mention one comment also on the first point about God being different. There are a lot of things that we cannot say about God in this time. The things that we know about God, of course, he has condescended to tell us. He has told us about himself, and that's the data we've got to work with. We can do linear extrapolations. We can make guesstimates. We can do different things, but he fundamentally has to tell us what he's like. It's just like you yourself if you're in situations where you have to negotiate or you have you don't show yourself all the time, and you're in a situation. One of the most beautiful things that we'll discover, by the way, in this context, is that God confides in those that who trust him. Okay? He reveals his covenant to those that trust him. And there's secrets in the heart of God that he doesn't just publish out in skywriting.
that he shares with his intimate friends. It's just like we are. We slowly disclose, and we'll see how that's a model of why we're built this way and what that tells us about God as well. But the passages we'll look at is where he takes the upright into his confidence, and he shares what he's like, the beauties of his character. And so there will be disputes about his character for age long, but as you walk with God, and the closer you get, the more he shares. He says, Jesus calls his disciples over. He says, see this woman that put in the two things? Let me tell you what I see there. Who else heard that? Nobody but the stumbling disciples. And they're not a really good example necessarily, but they're a lot like us. And there was an openness about it where he opens his heart and shares those things with us. And this stuff is in Scripture, but we'll also discover how we have selective blindness. We have a problem of seeing things, and there's this thing called he opened their eyes. There's this constant refrain, and he opened their minds, and he opened their eyes. And sometimes it's a programmatic limitation. He says, you don't get it for 25 years, Glenn. Sorry. Okay. And sometimes it's, I wish you'd have gotten it last year, Glenn. And I say, I'm sorry. Okay. And so we'll look at a lot of those situations where he's given us every hint in the world of the beauty that's in that character for us to explore in our relationships. And so the closing comment is that the difference between the dancing and theology and just the coldness of the description is that we will be describing what technically will be called the Christian belief system. Judeo-Christian belief system is what we'll be calling here. But that's a social euphemism for a relationship, a vibrant relationship with the living God of the universe. Okay, so we're going to talk about that second thing mostly, as opposed to his impassibility. You know, and the various and sundry things that are associated with the more theological and scientific descriptions of God, who consistently refuses to be a lab rat. He will not let us put him under the microscope. He's always playing with us, and he reveals in his own sovereign good time. So that's our introduction, and let me turn it back over to Stephen. I will be here probably at 8 o'clock next Sunday. Look for me in the parking lot, camping out to get tickets like you do.
Glenn, just know that we're really appreciative to have you. You can see this is going to be a fabulous series. Glenn has a switch. You know how the VCR tapes have regular play mode and extended play? Well, we'll switch them into extended play, and he'll get it in. If you're the kind of person that's not going to remember to bring your sheet back next week, just leave it on your chair, and we'll put it over here in the bin, and you'll get it next week. If not, take it home and study it. Be prepared, and let's just close with a word of prayer. Father, thanks for showing us that you really do want us to be flexible, and thanks and open to your leading, and thanks for Glenn just being willing to come over here and teach us. It's going to be a great series, and just bless his teaching, and most of all, Lord, help us to have it have an impact in our lives. Amen. Okay, thanks. We'll see you next week.